the cleaning service Chico, Paradise, and the surrounding area. If you are looking for a scheduled cleaning service or just one-time assistance, you can reach Serenity Cleaning by calling 877-8586. And another thing real quick before we get started, Ray, I just wanted to thank everybody again for their contributions last week during the pledge drive. Another successful pledge drive here at KZFR.
And, yeah,
we
awesome.
can't do it without the listeners. And so, I just want to say thanks once again. Jake's out of town. He's got a new gig.
Yeah, what's the story? Secret agent man?
Yeah, he's secret agent man. We're not going to divulge too much here, mainly because I don't really know exactly. He explained it to me last week and kind of was over my head a little bit. Something about mapping and finding out whether or not these people who are claiming to be providing Wi-Fi are actually covering the distances that they say that they're covering.
Maybe he's the guy in the Google car.
He's the Google guy, maybe, perhaps. I hope not. But anyway, yeah, so Ray, you're here with me today. It's really good to be with you again.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Ray is an unabashed Golden State Warriors fan.
This is true, and years.
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 I mean,
once Joe Barry Carroll left the building, I was in. So that takes you back to what? 84, something like that? 85?
Well, we're gonna talk some Warriors history today because there's a few milestones that happened. Steph Curry got named the National Basketball Association Most Valuable Player for the 2014-2015 season. This is their first first MVP since Wilt Chamberlain in 1960, and that was back when the Warriors played in Philadelphia. That was two seasons before they moved to San Francisco. So it's been a long time coming. Steph is in his sixth year now as a professional. And, there were whispers. His father, Dell, played in the NBA for a few years, and he kind of got emotional today during his speech talking about his father and everything that he meant to him. But it's just kind of funny to think back that, 6 years ago coming out of Davidson, there was a lot of talking heads that were speculating that he didn't have, the build, to be a full-time NBA guy. Nevertheless, MVP of these, West leading Golden State Warriors, who are now in the second round matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, he looked phenomenal on Sunday, too.
They looked really good, especially after an 8-day layoff.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things. I mean, first of all, I can't believe it's been 6 years that he came.
Me too. It seems like just yesterday.
Like, I'm thinking 3 or 4 max.
Right.
But,
it's been 6 years.
But he's grown. Obviously, he came out as a, young man. Now he's a man.
He is.
And, I mean, and honestly, I wore my Monte Ellis shirt the other day.
Nice.
Just to shake things up on Friday. But, that was the rub. I was shocked. I thought, I didn't know. He's put on, obviously he's put on a lot of strength and all that stuff. But even 3 years ago, it was like he was getting injured a lot. He was turning his ankle all the time.
Right.
He had big ankle problems for a couple of years. And it was like, look, I don't know if he was getting pushed around. It was like, but again, there's a big difference between being 19, 20, 21 or whatever when he came out. I guess he was 21, 22 to being 26.
Right.
And just a whole different approach. His dedication, his knowledge. I mean, that's most of it. It's his IQ.
Absolutely.
You look at these great players. You look at, what's the difference between Kaepernick and Aaron Rodgers? Well, Aaron Rodgers, they both have a great skill set physically, but he's got the IQ.
Absolutely.
Kaepernick does not have IQ, period.
Right.
I mean, you can't learn that. You have to, it's just in you.
Right.
So, for Curry, man, I mean, he's got it.
And it's kind of the flip side there because, you can't teach physicality. Either you're a beast or you're not. And he was able to grow into this body. You know what I mean? You just don't stop growing when you're 18.
Right.
You see it. And that's why, like a lot of the NFL guys, nobody comes out early in the NFL because freshmen and sophomores in college are not ready to play in the NFL.
Right, exactly.
And you see these 18, 19-year-old kids, now it's got to be 19 in the NBA. They come out and they still look like boys. And Curry, I think he played 2 or 3 years at Davidson, but he still looked undersized. Now he looks the part.
Yeah.
He just had a phenomenal season. Real quick over his numbers, he averaged almost 24 points a game, almost 8 assists, which is great for him because he's not necessarily what you would consider a true point guard,
right,
a distributor like a John Stockton type. And he pulled down 4 rebounds a game. You know, so being able to get out and transition with Klay Thompson and with the defense that they have now, even Draymond Green is stepping out and hitting three-pointers.
Oh.
I mean, this team is dangerous.
Oh, well, right? That's, yeah, beyond. Yeah, for you sure. Know? For
and,
sure.
And now I think with, you know, San Antonio going out in the first round, I kind of feel like the door is open for them.
Yeah.
You know, Memphis is a solid team. They've got a lot of playoff experience, but their point guard, Mike Conley, is out with a facial fracture.
Right.
And it's uncertain whether or not he's going to be able to make it for game two tomorrow night.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play game two. He might come back after that because they got a few more days off. I don't think they're going to risk it.
They have somewhat of an irregular layoff. They've got 3 days instead of the normal, you know, 2 days
right.
off. So they're not going to be coming back until, I guess it is Saturday or Friday night maybe. And so that'll be a home game for Memphis. If I was the coach of Memphis, I would keep him out game two.
Oh, totally.
Because you're probably not going to win that one anyway.
Right.
So why risk further injury? Give him another, you know, 48 hours to heal.
He broke his cheekbone.
You know, yeah, he's got, I mean,
it's not a nose, it's a broken face.
It's a broken face.
Yeah.
You know, and his left eye is still completely swollen and red. I mean, it's bloodshot.
Right.
You know, so I'm not a doctor, but I mean, you know, I would think sit him out because Golden State is, including the playoffs, they've only lost twice at home all year.
I know, the odds of them losing, you know, the odds are against it. Why not rest him? And
why not rest him?
You know, when you have an eye-related injury like that, the optic nerves come in. So as you're running, your heart's beating, you're pumping all that blood. That's a lot of pain. And if something blows, you know, you're going to lose him for the whole thing. So
and it's just not worth it. Yeah. I mean, you know, plus you're thinking about the long-term health of this guy. Conley, you know, as many people have said, you know, I'm not inside the locker room, but a lot of people say he's the heart and soul of that team.
Right.
You know, kind of brings those guys together, Randolph and Gasol. And, you know, they've made some great runs, but they still have some years, I think, in the tank. So to blow it out all this year by trying to bring a guy back, like you see what happened with Oklahoma City. They rushed Kevin Durant back.
Yeah.
And now there's speculation that his ankle might never be the same. So, you know, for me, it's like, as far as Golden State's concerned, they kind of have, I don't want to say an open path, but let's say that they were able to get past Memphis, which I'm thinking they will, especially with Conley's injury. If Conley had been healthy since game one, I'd give the Grizzlies a fighting chance. Now, not so much. So you're looking at a Western Conference final versus either Houston or L.A.,
right.
You know, and the Clippers are a hungry team. You know, they've been in the fight the last couple of years. They've got arguably one of the best point guards in Chris Paul, who is questionable for tonight's game one
right.
in Houston.
He strained a hammy the other day,
which can be a nagging thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll see. And honestly, you look over on the East, and I'm not impressed with Atlanta. You know, Washington's playing really well. They've won three in a row.
I'd love to see Washington take them down.
I think Washington is going to beat Atlanta.
Yeah.
I really do.
That'd be awesome.
And then you've got Cleveland now. Kevin Love going down with a separated shoulder. He's out for the rest of the playoffs.
Right. He's done.
So that's a big loss. And then, you know, you got Chicago, and, you know, they're healthy now. But you just never know what's going to happen, especially with Derrick Rose. And so I kind of feel like if Golden State gets to the finals, they're going to win the NBA championship.
Well, you know, for consistency, Golden State's got it. They're very well rested. Everybody's healthy. It was great to see David Lee get some minutes
right.
the other day. I was like, good for that, man. Everybody else is kind of sputtering. I mean, the Warriors were there last year. Bogut was injured. David Lee was out. I mean, you know, they've gone to many playoff games in the last couple times they've made it, not with a full squad. This time they're rested. They got a full squad, and they are totally gelling. So, I mean, they definitely look like the front, you know, the lead horse, you know.
Absolutely.
So,
I want to ask you a question about that last time that they won the championship. It was 40 years ago, 1975. Do you have any thoughts or memories on that team?
I don't. Let me think. 1975. Yeah, I was in college. I don't even hardly remember that whole decade.
Probably just going to probably going to dead shows.
Yeah, no, I hadn't gone to my first show yet.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, 75. But you know, we were doing our thing.
So, you know, obviously a lot of local people are looking forward to, you know, them hopefully bringing back the first basketball championship. We've had a lot of local success recently with the Giants, with the 49ers reaching conference championships and a Super Bowl.
Well, and, you know, Oracle's a great house. They have Warrior fans are really, really great fans. They're super loyal. Like, you know, it's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. And honestly, this team is just, they're good. They're good people. There's, you know, you could say, oh, you know, there's no giant superstar. There's been no drama. You know, I was thinking about this today. Boy, aren't we glad they didn't trade Kevin Love for Klay Thompson.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's a great team. These guys, it's a real team. Unlike, you know, hopefully everybody stays in place for a couple of years. I know David Lee's probably gone. He's got their biggest salary, and he's just, unfortunately, he got injured, and Draymond came up and stole the show, yeah. man. And that's just the way it is in sports. You know, yeah, the older guys go out.
When you have a team that's that deep, you know, you're going to get some casualties, you know, and it's going to be the guy that's not playing a lot, but it's also taking a lot of up on the salary cap, and that's David Lee.
Sure.
But, you know, so much young talent, Harrison Barnes, you know, as far as health, you know, Bogut's still healthy, which is huge. Hopefully he can stay healthy for the rest of the run.
And Festus has been playing great.
Absolutely.
Iguodala finally got some rest. He got iced up for a week, so he's playing. I mean, honestly, you take David Lee out, and, I mean, you know, that's if they can keep the core, if they can hang on to everybody else for a couple of years, this team could be...
Yeah, you're looking at maybe them winning a couple championships.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves because it's sports and anything can happen.
Well, but they got I was talking to one of our interns the other day, and Harrison Barnes, to me, is the best athlete on the team.
Right.
That guy has got the skill set. He could be, in 5 years, he could be Michael Jordan. I mean, Michael didn't come out of the womb like that. You know, he had to get created like that.
Exactly.
And Harrison, it's tough for him to get minutes. I mean, let's face it. When they start, he's the last guy to get the ball. Curry, Thompson, Draymond, then inside to Bogut. And if nobody has a shot, let's give it to Harrison. So, you know, if he was getting 30, 40 shots a game, he would grow quicker. But in year five, watch out for him.
And that's why I feel like if they do go to the finals and meet up with who I believe it's going to be Cleveland, even without Kevin Love, I just don't think that Cleveland's deep enough. I mean, you take out LeBron, you take out Kyrie Irving, who is their third scorer? Tristan Thompson?
Right.
You know, the Warriors are just deeper. And they play together as a team. And LeBron's obviously great at getting his guys involved. I still see them a year or two away. And we don't know what's going to happen with Kevin Love. He's a free agent next year.
Right.
So,
And it's that thing. I mean, the Warriors put so many different combinations of players on the floor, which I think is the genius of Steve Kerr. You know, you look at some of these combos, when Clay was out for a week or something, you know, they were just, they had Barbosa out there.
Right.
You know, Barbosa, Barnes, Curry, Festus, Iguodala. I mean, come on, these guys they're all slashers.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
I mean, Iguodala was the main focus of those 76er teams from a few years back.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that guy can put the ball in the basket. There's no doubt about that.
No, it's Showtime is back, baby.
Right. It's really exciting time. Real quick, I want to segue into the quote-unquote mega fight that we had this weekend. But before we do that, let's tie it in with the Warriors. Mark Jackson, who was let go as Warriors head coach following last year, he's, funny enough, doing the games for ABC. They have him doing the Golden State series with Jeff Van Gundy. And he made some what I consider to be just really irresponsible remarks regarding Floyd Mayweather. This was Sunday's broadcast after the big fight on Saturday night. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, well, we got a little song for him. Should we play our song for him?
Sure.
I think we usually do this at the end of the segment.
Yeah, we used to do Jive Turkey and talk some smack, but we're going to go ahead and do it in the middle of the program this time.
Is that the song?
That's the song.
All right. This is for you, Mark Jackson. A little jive talking. He's going to get our Turkey of the Week award. Come on, fellas, hit it. It's just not the same without Jake dancing around the studio.
No, it's not.
But anyway...
So what exactly was he saying?
Something well, you about? Know, they were talking about the fight, and he went off on how it was boxing clinic, and, you know, yeah, he's a great fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And Van Gundy, who, you know, usually you would think, you know, first of all, you know, I feel sorry to anybody sitting next to Van Gundy because that guy's just a riot. He just drops them on you, you know.
Right.
He was saying, yeah, but you know, everybody hates him and blah blah blah, and you know, he doesn't like him. Blah. And Jackson is defending him, saying, well, I don't understand that. He's a great athlete and all this other stuff. He says he's a wife beater, dude. And Jackson was trying to defend the fact that, hey, wife beating and you know, being famous and being a great athlete, you know, it's. it's two different things. You know, right. You can't judge a man by that, you know, and that kind of stuff. And I just thought, wow, here's Mark Jackson.
Preacher.
Yeah, he's a preacher. He preaches on the streets of L.A.
Right.
You know, his whole thing's about, you know, J.C., baby.
Right.
Yet here he is defending somebody. So, you know, I just thought, give me a break, dude.
Yeah, I
thought. Where are you coming from?
I was shocked, too, because I was watching the game, too. And it was, you know, he was, you know, Mike Breen, I think, who was the play-by-play guy, he was, you know, he brought it up about, you know, he said, well, there's all these issues. And, you know, Mark Jackson said something to the effect of, well, then you're not qualified to judge him as a boxer, I believe, is something to the effect of what he said. And I just feel like Mark Jackson is completely out of touch. And maybe that's the reason why he got fired.
Well, maybe. And I think you have something there, too, because, you know, he was turning the locker room into almost like a little cult.
Right.
And, you know, that might work for some people, and some people are perfectly fine with it. I know personally, I feel that my religion is my business and nobody else's. And that's just the way it is. I'm not going to shove it down somebody's throat.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that was a factor. I was a little surprised when he left. I wasn't that sad. I know he was, you know, he's one of these building guys. He's probably at the right place at the right time, but there's no way the Golden State Warriors would be the team they are today if he was still a coach.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. I was going to ask you if you thought that they would have had a good season. Obviously, Steve Kerr coming in, first time coach, having, you know, just a phenomenal season. Didn't win Coach of the Year. Their GM did get Executive of the Year, though, which I thought was perfect, considering the fact that he's the guy that put this team together, and this is, you know, arguably the best roster in the NBA. Well, let's go ahead and segue into that fight that I, like a fool, paid $100 for.
Did you really?
I did.
You should have called me up, man.
I guess it's just, you know, it's a layover from my days coming up watching Tyson, and my stepfather would always get the pay-per-views. You know, that was kind of like, you know, the 80s, early 90s. That was kind of the era of, like, when you had to pay to see boxing. You know, all those fights back in the day, the Ali fights, Joe Frazier, those were all, you know, broadcast on the wide world of sports. But, you know, or NBC, whatever it was. But, you know, so I plopped down the largest fee ever for a fight. It was $99.99 plus whatever taxes and fees are going to show up on my bill. But, you know, honestly, Ray, it was a pretty unexciting fight, pretty uneventful. There was a few rounds where Pacquiao got in some flurries. But overall, I want my money back.
You know, well, isn't that how pay-per-view works?
It just ain't going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Floyd took home, you know, his nickname is Floyd Money Mayweather, and he pulled in $100 million for basically 36 minutes of action the other night.
Wow.
And there's no doubt that he's probably the best defensive fighter of all time. He never really allowed Pacquiao to get close. I mean, Pacquiao got a couple good shots on him. But at the end of the day, it was just kind of it was a dance more than it was a fight. And I honestly am kind of getting to the point now where, like, as far as boxing goes, I'm kind of over it. Just because I can't even trust that these things are actual competition rather than basically a television event. It's just one big spectacle. And I would, maybe it's the conspiracy theorist in me, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, between the camps, they hadn't come to some kind of unwritten agreement like, hey, you know, let's just make sure nobody gets hurt and we're both going to walk out of here, you know, with, you know, nine figures.
Yeah.
You know, nine figures.
Well, it's, it's like anything else. It's like,
and boxing's corrupt.
It's like the
NBA.
It's
been corrupt for.
It's entertainment.
It's entertainment.
Don't confuse the two.
Right.
It's sporting entertainment, but it's entertainment. And boxing's had a black eye, so to speak.
For sure.
Forever.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say entertainment, because I'm hearing commissioners, you know, whether it's Goodell or Adam Silver from the NBA, they're ever increasingly referring to it as entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm wondering, when are we going to get to the point in professional athletics where it gets scripted, where it's like professional wrestling? I mean, is that day ever going to come, do you think?
Well, it already happened with the Shaq days in the Lakers. I mean, come on. That was about as script as it could
right,
be, right?
Right.
And you see it in the NBA, I think, more than anything, because, God forbid, a small market team should have a good team. I mean, even look at the Warriors. I mean, let's stay on kind of the topic. Up until 2 weeks ago, everybody's like, oh, James Harden's the MVP, and Curry's not worth anything, right, and blah, blah, blah. And the Lake, you know, even, you know, you watch the, you know, Charles and those clowns, you know. you know, they're talking about all these other teams that have like 500 records, like they're superstars.
Yeah.
It's like nobody wants to talk about the Warriors.
Right.
Nobody wants to talk about them. Oh, well, yeah, they're lucky. And yeah, they shoot the three all the time. And that's, you know, that's the future. The way the Warriors play is the future of basketball.
Absolutely. It is.
It's, you shoot 40% from the free throw line. You draw out the offense and then you run and gun.
Right.
And you slash.
And Barkley, you know, his comment that a jump shooting team can't win the championship, I think maybe that held true 5, 10, definitely 15 years ago. But, you know, today's NBA, I mean, the pounded into the inside teams like Memphis, you know, I mean, look what happened to them yesterday. They got blown out.
Yeah.
And granted, they were missing their point guard. But, I mean, I agree with you. The future of basketball is the way the Golden State Warriors play. And, you know, I just feel like, as far as that show goes, Barkley and Kenny Smith, is there a more excruciating post-game show? I mean, that is just hard to watch.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, it's like, almost like these guys do zero or little homework. You know what I mean? Half the time, they can't even name the guy that they're talking about. They have no statistical, you know, analysis to back them up. It's just the fact that, yeah, they played in the NBA, and that's pretty good credentials.
Right.
But, I mean, you got to be able to, you know, back it up a little bit. Sometimes I can't stand the TNT broadcast. I watch the game and I watch no post game whatsoever.
Yeah, or
I enjoy some analysis.
I go over to the Warriors station or
right. Yeah, and that's the
CSN
thing.
Sports.
CSN Bay Area is the way to go on that. So just real quick to wrap up, Mayweather is now 48-0. He's got one more fight left on his Showtime contract. That's going to happen in September. If he gets, he's going to fight somebody. It's not going to be nearly as exciting as the Pacquiao buildup, but he most likely will get a victory, and he will be 49-0, which will tie him with the great Rocky Marciano.
Wow.
And so we'll see if he decides to re-up and sign a one-fight deal after that, maybe, and to go for 15-0. That has yet to be seen. Honestly, as soon as he goes away, the happier I will be, because I don't want to have any more discussions about Floyd Mayweather. He's, a confirmed misogynist. He's beat multiple women, including the mother of his three children. And so I'm done with it.
Well, it's one of those things. So at what point, you know, and again, I mean, I understand this is sports. That's
it happens. Know,
his life and stuff. So at what point does the national media and all these things say, you know what, we're done with this?
But, I mean, would Mark Jackson make those comments? Like, let's say it was Michael Jordan who is a wife beater. Would he be able to say, like, he would just say still Michael Jordan's the best player of all time? Well, yeah, maybe. But that doesn't mean that we as a public don't get to judge him however we want to judge.
If I'm paying for the ticket or if I'm watching the TV show, which means I have to sit through the commercial,
yeah,
I matter, baby.
Right.
Because without me, there's no them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, we you know, it's one of those things, man. And at some point, you know, and we've seen this in football, you know, where people are finally starting to get suspended and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, that's, you know, why not in boxing, right?
Okay, before we run out of time, we got about 6.5
little baseball.
Minutes. Well, yeah, absolutely. But I want to talk about, you know, since we're talking about social issues here, last week we had two Baltimore Orioles games get postponed on Monday and Tuesday due to the rioting back there in the state of Maryland. And then the Wednesday afternoon game was actually played in front of zero spectators.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
Only accredited media were there, and that was the first time that ever happened in Major League Baseball. And I just wanted to read for everybody out there some of the comments that were made by the chief operating officer of the Baltimore Orioles, because this is just something that you just don't hear very often from men in this position. He was responding to a local media guy who went on Twitter and said that, you know, rioting and protesting is detrimental to the city. And in some ways it is. I mean, looting a CVS doesn't bring the young man back. You know, we've seen that in Ferguson. We've seen it all over in L.A., you know, going back. I mean, today is the 45th anniversary, I believe, of the Kent State shootings.
Yes, I saw that.
And that was, you know, about the Vietnam War. I mean, so we've been fighting for civil issues, well, since time immemorial. But in this country, you know, whether it's dealing with overzealous police or a military police state in general, you know, there's just a lot we still have to work on here. And I just wanted to read quick what this man said. He answered, speaking only for myself, and I'm quoting here, "I agree with your point that the principle of peaceful, nonviolent protest and the observance of the rule of law is utmost importance in any society. MLK, Gandhi, Mandela, and all great opposition leaders throughout history have always preached this precept. Further, it is critical that in any democracy, investigation must be completed and due process must be honored before any government or police members are judged responsible. That said, my greater source of personal concern, outrage, and sympathy beyond this particular case is focused neither upon one night's property damage nor upon the acts, but is focused rather upon the past four-decade period during which an American political elite have shipped middle-class and working-class jobs away from Baltimore and cities and towns around the United States to third-world dictatorships like China and others, plunged tens of millions of good, hardworking Americans into economic devastation, and then followed that action around the nation by diminishing every American's civil rights protections in order to control an unfairly impoverished population living under an ever-declining standard of living and suffering at the butt end of an ever more militarized and aggressive surveillance state. The innocent working families of all backgrounds whose lives and dreams have been cut short by excessive violence, surveillance, and other abuses of the Bill of Rights by government pay the true price, an ultimate price, and one that far exceeds the importance of any kids' games played tonight or ever at Camden Yards. We need to keep in mind people are suffering and dying around the United States, and while we were thankful no one was injured at Camden Yards, there's a big, far bigger picture for poor Americans in Baltimore and everywhere who don't have jobs and are losing economic and civil and legal rights. And this makes inconvenience at a ball game irrelevant in light of the needless suffering government is inflicting upon ordinary Americans." Wow.
Wow. Well, they're going to take his team away, aren't they?
I mean, seriously. I'm surprised that, you know, our version of the Gestapo or whatever hasn't already, you know, taken this guy away in the middle of the night. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that from guys on the internet and, you know,
right. Talking
heads here and there.
You and me.
You and I,
yeah,
you know what I
count.
Mean? But I mean, no, but I mean, this guy has...
Was this the owner of the GM?
This is the chief operating officer.
All right.
And I'm trying to find his
CEO
name.
CEO for the Baltimore
COO
Orioles.
For the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, this guy, you know what I mean? This is, you know...
I
was so proud of him.
Yeah.
John P. Angelos is his name. Executive
Good
Vice
for
President
him, man.
And Chief Operating Officer.
People,
I mean, so
you know,
impressed.
There's a change coming, and we've seen this before. And last change was just spare change that we had left.
Yeah.
But who knows, man? Maybe people are finally starting to have the courage to speak their minds.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I think it's great because this is what's going on in this country. And for a guy who has a lot to lose, you know, because very rarely is it the guys that have the most to lose. Those are not the ones that usually speak out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's usually the marginalized who winds up speaking up and speaking truth.
Sure.
So I'm just, I hope more executives around all major professional sports, you know, start to speak up and kind of maybe open their eyes to the truth and the reality of what's going on.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You know,
no,
so,
honestly, we're talking mega money here, baby.
Talking millions, billions of dollars,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And
$1 billion brand.
Yeah. So I'm just, you know, I'm really impressed and I hope we get more of that in the future. We're running out of time here on Say Hey, but real quick, I want to say that we had American Pharoah, who won the Kentucky Derby this Saturday, making Bob Baffert that's his fourth win as a trainer. We haven't had a Triple Crown winner since 1978, affirmed.
Right.
There's only been 11 in history, so don't hold your breath.
This kind of Kentucky Derby was under the radar compared to last year. You know, last year it was like a national event or a big Northern Cal event.
I think it's probably because of the Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
But a big day in sports. I mean, it almost felt like it was 60 years ago with the horse racing and the boxing. I mean, those were two of the major
And sports. As long as the Giants keep playing teams from L.A.
Hey, then they're good. You know, they swept the Angels this weekend.
Beautiful. Swept the Angels. A's took a couple.
Yeah. Covered around 500. They got
they finally shipped Cook back down. They just they need some middle and late relief, but I think they'll be all right.
A's need some help. But you know, it's early baseball fans, so let's not get too down in the dumps yet about the Bay Area teams. Real quick, we got Bulls and Cavs tonight. That's game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. I mentioned that earlier. Golden State will be playing tomorrow night at 7:30. And, so great, you know, as always, big week in sports, more to come, NHL, NBA playoffs, baseball is now in full swing, pun intended, and, I can't find that, so that's all you.
I can't find it. Well, I'm going to head over to Grateful Dead night at the movies. I'm not sure about
you. That sounds good.
And, let's see what's going on. A little Alabama
Ghetto. Couple more weeks and Jake will be back.
Yeah, Say Hey is made possible by you, the KZFR member, and by Mountains Mike's Pizza. serving thick and thin style pizzas, grilled and oven baked sandwiches, and a salad bar. Mountain Mike's offers takeout and delivery at four locations in Chico at 1722 Mangrove, on West 5th and Walnut, in Paradise, 6626 Clark, and in Oroville in the Albertsons Shopping Center on Oro Dam Boulevard. Hey, man, thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate it.